I wanted to talk about Mastermind.
Fast forward, we acquire some wisdom, we start asking better questions, and that gets us in contact with better people.
We are so excited to be able to share all of that with our clients, and that's exactly what we did at the Mastermind.
A lot of people don't have this back end mechanism or machine set up. They're only focused on the front end. They're not thinking 10 levels out to where the money's coming in, but there's also things that you can do on the back end that are crucial, if not more important, to build your dream.
Specifically in the beauty industry, there's no business education in the schools ever. And salon owners are some of the hardest working people that I know, and yet they work hard and work hard and work hard and they have nothing to show for it. But also it's bittersweet because we are already in the works on planning our next one in Nashville.
Welcome to the Seven Figure Salon Podcast with Rachel and Drew. I'm Drew.
I'm Rachel.
Welcome to the show. What are we talking about today?
I'll have what you're having. I wanted to talk about Mastermind. So we just basically are coming off the Mastermind high, and we had such an amazing turnout. And I'm actually kind of sad that we, number one, are finished with Mastermind, but also it's bittersweet because we are already in the works on planning our next one in Nashville.
Yeah.
So.
Nashland.
Mm-hmm. Nashville is honestly, it's obviously a great destination. And I think that we're going to have even like a more insane turnout. I actually was pretty surprised like how many people were like really interested in coming here to our hometown and doing the Mastermind here. And we sold out. I mean, it was wall to wall. Like, we had so many amazing people in the room. We had spouses, we had managers, we had lead stylists, we had education directors, we had like people that even just came by themselves. And it's so cool to have watched. Like I'm gonna use a couple. There's like I've named them like three amigo, or what did I call them? The three stooges, mm-hmm. The three musketeers. You know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. We had Hannah Thompson from Alaska. We had Amber. We had Stacey Love. Like, and neither of them knew each other, and they just made this like incredible friendship. And
three musketeers, not three stooges.
Okay. Well, okay. Yeah, sure. But anyways, they had like the most amazing time, and they like found new friends. They literally came not knowing a soul, and they left having an amazing lifelong friendship. And the cool thing about the community and just everybody, like you just, it's never by mistake, but that you sit next to a certain person at Mastermind. We're part of Masterminds. Anytime we have like, you know, like let's say we're walking in, we're like, oh, let me just find a seat really quick, and we just sit down somewhere. We end up sitting down next to the coolest freaking people, and we end up becoming so close with those people. So my advice is, if you're going to an event, you're going to a mastermind, just freaking sit down wherever you like feel drawn. And I guarantee you're going to have some really cool friendships that come from it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Mastermind was amazing. Great turnout, incredible content. And I know that, like, you know, we taught and presented on several keynotes, but we had some amazing guest speakers too.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to bring out just people from behind the curtain that we work with directly on helping us build our tax-free accounts and our financial family structure, and how we do that, and the people that help us do that. And we've worked with a lot of people. We've come to find these folks over years. Like, this is not our first
of like first, freaking searching
batch of people. You know, you work with people, and then they say they're one thing and they're another. And you know, these folks aren't like brokering multiple products. They're like, they have fiduciary responsibilities, meaning like, you want to work with people that have fiduciary responsibilities to you, i.e. they're not brokers. They're not trying to sell you the best product with the highest margin. Like, they're there to help you make the best financial decision. And those folks are hard to find, you know?
It's insane. Like, when you really start thinking about like the Edward Joneses of the world, right? Like, I mean, I remember back whenever I first had Kenzie, and I'm like, okay, this is what you do. Like, you literally, you contact Edward Jones, you go to their office, you set up a 529, you set up two, you know, a couple Roths, and you're like, you know, you're maxing them out each year, and you're like, we're set. Like, we're going to be freaking millionaires one day, right? And then you realize, oh, like, this isn't like growing in the way that I thought. Mm-hmm. And yeah, sure. Like, if you max out your Roth and you did that every year, like, yeah, you'd probably have a couple $1 million chilling at the end of your adult life. But you know, it's important that you know that, like, we want to share with you that there's way more to the story. And we are so excited, like literally excited to be able to share all of that with our clients. And that's exactly what we did at the mastermind. So it's funny because I think our clients were coming to the mastermind thinking like, oh, we're going to work on our salon. We're going to grow our salon business. We're going to learn how to make more money. It's like, yeah, you learned all of that too. But we also taught you how you can also protect your money that you're making. Mm-hmm. And that way you're not just making more money and then you're getting more money and then you're paying taxes and you're getting more money and you're paying taxes. So anyway, we had some amazing speakers. We actually brought Pam. Pam's our CFO. We brought Pam, literally flew her all the way from North Carolina to be here with our clients. She flew in just to speak and then she flew right back out to make soccer games with her kids. I mean, it was so important to her that she was here. People. Yes. And because there's such a need in the industry anyway, I mean, in all industries, but specifically in the beauty industry, there's no business education in the schools ever, which is why the schools are on the verge of being deregulated. But then you also have, you know, some hardworking people. We have such amazing, hardworking clients, and salon owners are some of the hardest working people that I know. And yet they work hard and work hard and work hard and they have nothing to show for it. So we thought it would be the most beneficial thing to bring our clients is Pam. And then we also brought Gary, and Gary is our wealth strategist. So Gary blew everyone's freaking mind about family banking. Do you want to tell them about that?
Oh man, that's a big,
that's like four episodes right there.
So I'll touch on it. It is the overarching foundation of your financial legacy, your financial leverage. It is the best way to hold, store, grow your income. I look at that as a foundational account, you know, and when you start a foundational account, and here's the thing, other people will tell you all these other types of foundational accounts. Like we started at IUL, thought that was like the thing, and it's not, you know, so, and we got advice from people, like you'll get advice and then you got to go do it. And then once we do it and understand it, we funded the crap out of these other accounts that we thought what we were doing correctly. And it just wasn't the tool that we thought that it was. And, in fast forward, we acquire some wisdom. We start asking better questions and that gets us in contact with better people. And we're able to set up, our Roths, we're able to set up Coverdells for our kids, and they all come from our foundational account that we set up through Gary.
Yeah.
And you can move money around. You're trading pockets essentially in your own ecosystem, your own financial ecosystem.
Anytime you move money, you always want to move it from left hand to right hand. You don't want to sit here and move it from this hand to the IRS, this hand to the IRS. Like I know, and we've played this game. We're really good at this game, right? The whole write-off game. Let me take everything down to zero. Let me write everything off. Yeah, sure. That's a great game. But you also have to be able to show income. And you also have to make sure that you are doing all of this legitimately. And then we have all the tax codes, like all of the laws, all of the regulations, everything completely laid out to be able to share with our clients so that they're educated on what they're doing. And I want to share this, regardless of what your beliefs are. Proverbs 13:22 says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. A good man or woman leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Do not take that lightly. It is important that you create generational wealth. And I can tell you that Drew and I, we don't have inheritance from our family. We love our family and our family loves us. We don't have inheritance from our family. Our family didn't have inheritance from their family. So if you start to look backwards, and maybe you're one of the lucky ones, maybe you're a trust fund baby. I don't know. Maybe that's been able to give you an amazing opportunity to get started in life or start a business. But for Drew and I, that is not the case. Like we did not have that. And, you know, if you look backwards in time, you would see in our family lineage that they didn't have it either. Our mom didn't have it. Our dad didn't have it. Our grandma didn't have it. Like it literally goes all the way back. Mm. And the reason why is just a lack of knowledge. That's all it is.
They think the family legacy is a term policy.
Yeah, that too. No. But there's yeah, definitely life insurance helps for sure. Like being able to have the right kind that's going to mm-hmm. then fund your family's trust. But like these are such exciting things. But like all of this entire thing, like we deep dived it for days at Mastermind. And like
deep dive for days.
deep dive for days in Mastermind. As soon as I said it, I was like, that's a lot of deep.
It's a sticker.
But like, you know, those are the kinds of things that I have never, ever seen, heard, witnessed, nothing in our entire industry. There's nobody in our industry that ever talks about any of that shit. And we're sick of it because we want to make sure that, and I've realized it's not because in the industry that someone didn't want us to know. It's not because they didn't want us to know. It's because nobody knew. Nobody knows. Nobody seeks it, you know? Mm-hmm. Instead, you've got education that's just telling you how to make more money as a stylist. And you know what that looks like? Let me go do some more hairs to make more money as a stylist. What if it was easier than that? What if it was easier where you could work hard, you didn't have to do more clients or do more hairs to be able to make more money, and you could actually make more money actually with a strategy, knowing that it's calculated that you will yield X amount of dollars in return, and knowing how to actually grow your salon, how to grow your business, how to get unlimited clients. Like, there's all of these opportunities that are literally right there. You just have to grab them.
There's a concept in I read this in a book, but I forget what book it was, but it's called Selling Your Sawdust. So there's a story of a sawmill where you come in and they chop up trees and they make it into purchasable pieces of wood for builders and all types of things. When you have a sawmill, you produce a bunch of sawdust, and it is a cost. You have to go have it shipped off, or you got to burn it off, or you got to get it hauled somewhere. What they began doing was, and this is common now, but they took the sawdust and they packaged it and they sell it to farmers for fertilizer, and they sell it to all kinds of different companies that can use the sawdust. So they have their front end, which is the sawmill, selling and processing wood from forest to builder. And then they have a whole other company, which I believe became larger from the selling of this sawdust. So a lot of people don't have this back end mechanism or machine set up. They're only focused on the front end, and they're not thinking 10 levels out to where the money's coming in, but there's also things that you can do on the back end that are crucial, if not more important, to build your dream in your life the way you want.
The foundation is super important. And another analogy for you guys is, a lot of people are focused on the fruit and they're not focused on the root. And what ends up happening is you've got your roots aren't deep, your roots aren't being watered, there's no nutrients there, you're not tilling the soil. Guess what happens? The freaking tree dies. The plant dies. There will be no more fruit. And a lot of times in business, we're so focused on the fruit that we forget about the root. So I would recommend that if you're listening to this, think about what is your root composed of, and how much time are you spending? Are you spending 100% of your time on the fruit, or are you spending, you know, 50% of time on the root, and really get clear of where your focus lies. And I will tell you, the more we grow in business, the more we constantly come back to the freaking fact that it is literally about the foundational things. It's about the simple things, the soil. Yeah. The core of your business. Like if you think back, like, what was the first thing I did to build my client? What was the first thing I did to build my salon? Like, you start thinking about, like, all the way back there. It's, you know, when you've been on the journey for so long, you start to forget those things because you're constantly looking forward. And you've got to remember, like, what actually worked, like what actually got you to where you are for several reasons, but more importantly, to be able to teach your team on how, like, show them how you did it, you know, and be able to think back into, like, how did I get my first client? How did I book my first consultation? How was I behind the chair? Like, what were my consultations like? You know, like, getting back to basics, I think, is one of the most important things that people can do.
Yeah. And a lot of things it's to be extraordinary, have an extraordinary company, you have to do the ordinary things extraordinarily well. So it always goes back to the ordinary things, having great customer service, doing great hair, instead of, like, finding people who are so talented in this. Yeah, they need to be talent, but hard work will beat talent every single time. Talent will only take you so far. And you got to do the order. You got to, you know, Sports Reference, like the guys that do really well practice the simple stuff all the time. Doing jiu-jitsu all the time, like I'm constantly reminded of this, and this is one of the reasons why I love doing jiu-jitsu, and I'm always talking about it, because it is parallel to business. To be good at business, you got to do the ordinary thing really well. Like, just be great, take care of your clients, be a great part of your community, deliver a great service, have a great booking process, have a great humans in the building, you know, have it look good, smell good, clean, you know, these are not wild things, you know? So I love it because it's constant reminded, because these principles that we're talking about, if you zoom back out, what we're saying, like we're kind of zooming in onto other pieces and aspects of being an entrepreneur, but what we're saying is the same thing across all platforms, you know, and we're making sports car and landscaping references.
The reason we do that is because we have to constantly ask ourselves, like, what do we want to teach you? Like, what do we need you to know? Why do we need you to know it? And then how can we help you remember? Like, those are the three things that we like literally beat ourselves in the head with all the time, trying to figure out like, cool, you can hear all this, you can learn it, but like, how will you remember it and implement it into your life and business? That's the reason we use analogies. And there are all kinds of analogies flowing at the mastermind, but like, you know, we had amazing workbooks. Like there was, it was really cool to see like everyone like writing things down, and like they were getting, like the view from in the crowd, you're looking at the stage is like, that's one perspective. On the other side, like us on stage looking at the crowd, it was so cool to watch. Like when someone like got, like when you see someone get a golden nugget, you're like, oh, like they grab it and then they're like writing it down really fast. And then you see somebody else, it's like, oh, that's one for her, you know? And it's like, there was all these cool moments and like people got so much variety of different education and content, but more so, there were so many like golden nugget moments. And like from our perspective, seeing them doing that, like that's to me one of the best feelings in the world.
Yeah. And you have to go and leading up to the event to talk about how difficult it was to do and how kind of messy and how we pulled it off. But there's a lot of things that came in last minute. Mm-hmm. Really?
Like, oh, there's always problems.
Like slides to adjustments to production. Like I was on the floor with the production team each morning, lining out the day, going through slide by slide by slide. And then we found, you know, we made the slides and we had to do final run throughs and we found weird stuff, like slides that were, we made that don't make any sense. And it just, it happens, you know, like,
or it's like, it's, I mean, we're super hands-on. We're super hands-on with everything that we do because we care. And also we may go in like actually I had a segment that I was doing called Stepping Into CEO and I wasn't going to share my story at all. And my story is pretty intense. I wasn't going to share it at all. And literally the afternoon before we had one of our friends, Monette, she came and she was like, girl, she's like, you're telling your story tomorrow, right? And I was like, no, like I'm not telling my story. I don't want to tell my story. Like it's not going to make anybody feel warm and fuzzy inside. Like they're going to feel like, bleh. She's like, no, you have to tell your story. And I literally was up till 1 a.m. rebuilding my slides that I had spent days and days creating, rebuilt all of my slides the night before, stayed up till 1 a.m. doing it. And you know what? When we gave that presentation and we walked through the story together, like I knew, okay, yeah, that was how that was supposed to go, you know? Mm-hmm. And
impact.
Yeah, a lot of impact. And like, I felt so much more connected to our clients than I ever have. And there was not a dry eye in the room, honestly. You know, my eyes definitely weren't dry. But it was cool to be able to see, like in business and in life and in events or whatever, you may go into it thinking that you're going to execute it in one way. And then you're like, you're just core and your heart tells you like, no, I know I planned for it to go this way. However, I need to reroute. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And in that moment, that's exactly what we did. And it went exactly the way it was meant to be. Not how it's supposed to be, but how it was meant to be. And that was really, really cool to see.
I think that event was the coolest, best thing we've put together, you know, and there was a lot of challenges. Like you'll have a lot of challenges at your business, you know? So the event that we did is it's like its own business in and of itself, mm-hmm. its own cost, its own needs, its own everything, you know? So dealing with the hotel, overpaying for a lot of things that we didn't know better.
We got freaking screwed by that hotel.
We got hustled by that hotel bad.
And hustled.
We ended, we ended up coming in at, it cost us a couple hundred.
It was 200 grand easy.
Yeah.
We have a couple of receipts lingering that we're trying to track down.
Yeah. So, and that is really difficult to do. And like, we don't just have, you hit, every time you grow, you have to put everything on the line. So for us to be able to facilitate that, we had to put everything on the line that weekend. Our whole everything was on the line that weekend. Everything.
Mm-hmm. Everything.
So, and we're getting hustled. And oh, by the way, 6,000th here.
Literally the day before the event. The day before the event, the hotel emails us. Like, I think it was like almost end of day. And they're like, yeah, so what, you know, what's the plan for your power? I was like, huh? I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, yeah, you're going to need, you know, a special power for the AV team. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Like, don't you rent like a large room, a 5,700 square foot room to do an event in, it's going to come with power.
Well, I'm like, you have freaking outlets. Like, you have power. And like, no, we had to spend $6,000 literally on a whim for power. Like, anything you're pursuing that's new or uncharted territory for you, like, you're gonna end up paying a dummy tax. Like, and I wish that, like, in the event space, I wish there was someone that's like, oh, hey, we teach you how to do events. We teach you how to do big conferences. Like, there wasn't really anybody like that we knew of or found or heard of. Like, we had to just navigate this the best way that we knew how. And obviously, like, if we went back in time and we hosted an event like we did last year in Scottsdale or the previous years in Cabo, we could definitely do that. Like, we can definitely do that. Like, we can handle that. No problem. That's easy because we've already done it and we learned wisdom along the way. But like, this event having, you know, 200 people in this and taking over the whole hotel and all of the dynamics that come with that, that was definitely a bigger thing for us. And we definitely paid some dummy tax.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And, but that's okay. You know, like we learned a lot of lessons. We have a lot of like really amazing, negotiating skills in our back pocket now. Like we are our next mastermind, like we're going to be able to cut our costs by probably 50%, which will be awesome. And that way we can, you know, be able to, I just don't want to spend money on dumb shit like power or like, water bottles or, you know, like I would rather spend that money on something that actually matters that our event, like our guests could actually enjoy.
You ask better questions. So as we book these as we book our other events, we know the questions to ask because you don't learn things until you get in there and do them. Like you can teach. I was talking to, our acquisition team this morning and he did really good. Karsten. And, if he's listening to this, shout out to it.
And, he's the best.
There's things you cannot teach, you know, and he was on a call because people say they want to build a business. They say they want to build a salon. They say they want to do people will tell you these, but people will talk and they're not going to do anything. So we really have to decipher on who's going to actually really serious about building companies, you know, and you'll have 10 conversations about people who say they want to do things. And only one of them is really serious about it. So part of his job is making sure that he's vetting salons to come in here to work with us that are really down to build. And You can have ways to process this. You can have frameworks and everything like that. But there's an invisible thing that I cannot teach him that he's going to have to use his intuition and his heart and his gut on. And he was communicating to me this morning about someone he brought on yesterday and then a follow up that we're having with someone next week. But he spoke in such an intuitive way where it was advanced because I could tell him about intuition. But you really, it's like balance. Like you cannot teach balance to a kid. Like they have to feel it. They have to understand it. You cannot teach. So how do you ride a bike? They have those balance bikes that are great for little kids. Those things are amazing because they get on those bikes and then they pedal their feet and they figure out how to balance on a bike. You know, the old school way of the what are they called? The training wheels. Like the bike's all wobbly and that's not actually how you ride a bike.
Flashing back to me just eating shit on the pavement.
You know how I learned how to ride a bike? My Aunt Dee Dee. Literally push me down a hill.
So riding a bike with training wheels, like I think back to like when my stepdad taught me how to ride a bike, I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing it. just gone.
This doesn't teach balance, you know? So these balance bikes are really cool.
Yeah.
But that is what he spoke on. And that is a lot of, and what I want to draw this back to you on is when you're doing things, you're going to have to get in there and do it. And you will learn these invisible things that you cannot read or find on TikTok, or, you know, you're going to learn while being in the work, you know? So a lot of times you got to do the work to learn about what you need to learn to take the next step forward. You know, ask better questions. You'll acquire some wisdom like we did on this last event through Dummy Tax for messing up. And things are messy. Things are messy, then they're hard, and then they're difficult, and they're more difficult, and then you think you messed up everything, and then you pull it off.
And then you're like, just super, just, I don't know, fulfilled. I will say that a lot of times with the events that we've had, and this is definitely not our first or second or third rodeo, is we are there cleaning up, organizing, hauling stuff back to the, like, to storage. Like, we're like immediately breaking down and like doing all of the stuff, like breaking down the space. And this time our team, holy crap, our team is amazing. Our team took care of all of that stuff. And for the first time in 5 years of putting on events, we actually got to like sit and reflect and actually feel the effects of putting on an event like that. And that was so cool. Like, I was just like super happy the next day. I didn't really get to experience that before. And then also, it's been a long time since, I mean, I did education on the road for many years, certifying thousands of stylists and extensions and teaching extension classes and filming and all the things. But it's like, I definitely got burnt out doing that. And being able to put on this event and like do education like our way and like really give our clients every single ounce of us and not hold anything back, like, I felt so good. Mm-hmm. And it was like emotional, actually, because I for the first time in a long time, I was just like, man, like, we are like this is, we are doing exactly what we're meant to do. Like, this is exactly what we're meant to do. And there's no like ulterior motive or like, I can't share this with her because then this, and it just, it's all open and it's all inclusive, and it's just great. Yeah. So I was super, super happy. The days leading after Mastermind, holy crap. Yeah.
As you talk about that, I just realized we're going to need to have a truck drive from Texas to Nashville with, like, that's another problem. I just like, oh,
can it be pink?
No.
Come on. No.
Fellas, like, we're gonna have, it is a Babes in Business is the event for sure. But there are a lot of my guys are there. So
there'll be some guy stuff.
But
yeah.
Black and pink would be good.
Okay, like black here.
Faded pink.
Let's do this. You design the left side, I design the right side. Mm-hmm. And that way, depending on which way they're looking at it, look like a, like a bros and biz, or like babes and biz.
Bros and biz. Bros and biz.
Anyway, I'm super excited for the next one. We've got some planning meetings. We do planning meetings every single week, but the next one's going to be in Nashville, September 14th through the 17th. Be there or be square. It's amazing. So yeah, I think we'll leave it at that.
See ya.
Thanks
for listening. That was good.
Can you do the outro different?
I think this is perfect.
No.
I think this awkward ending.
No, it's so awkward.
It's
no.
It's really good. We're just going to close down the podcast now.
Bye. Okay. Rachel's done socializing.
Goodbye.